You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans, the daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans, and NBA as a whole for the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Available on iTunes and wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter, here with you all on this Thursday, the day after the Pelicans get a very much needed 10-point victory, 108-98 over the Utah Jazz. And really, despite not looking the best in the first half, though going into halftime with a lead, it was in the fourth quarter when the Pelicans put it all together and really came out and looked like the team you've wanted to see all season long. I'll tell you what happened in the first half, what happened in the second half in today's podcast, as well as look around the NBA a little bit to try and kind of look at the Pelicans' schedule going forward. This Utah Jazz team, who they still are in a battle for the eighth seed with, maybe another team that's kind of surprising and coming up the ranks a little bit that the Pels need to worry about. We'll take a look at all of that and more in today's edition of Locked On Pelicans, brought to you by mybookie.ag. So as I said in the opening, this was a bit of a weird game for the Pelicans. And when you look at some of the stats, and stats do tell a story, you'd wonder how they maybe won this game. The Pelicans had 20 turnovers that led to 18 points off turnovers. And again, not a huge fan of that stat, but it is worth looking at. But the 20 turnovers isn't a good thing. We've seen that from the Pelicans all year, that if they get close to that number, they can be pretty bad and lose some games, and they're usually pretty ugly. Not only that, Utah put up 56 points in the paint despite not having Rudy Gobert in this one. Not that he's the biggest offensive threat, but still lacking their best center, their best big, they still put up 56 points in the paint, which is something really the Pelicans shouldn't be allowing, with the big birds down low taking care of that. And then to make it kind of even weirder, the Pelicans didn't get to the free throw line once, not one single time. It's not they didn't make a free throw, it's they didn't get to the free throw line at all in the first half. And part of that has to do with the Jazz play. So look, those stats are weird, yet the Pelicans won, so we'll talk about why. But in that first half, Utah was terrified of Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins and what they could do down low, and absolutely packed the paint to take that away from them. That's why when you look at the Pelicans on the night, they shot so well from three. This is a team that struggled in the last games to Dallas and the Knicks shooting from deep. They didn't do a good job there. But when the Jazz are packing the paint to take away Anthony Davis, DeMarcus Cousins, it's going to open up things from three. And the Pelicans made the Jazz pay last night. They were 10 of 18 alone in the first half from three. Davis had a quiet first half. He was 5 of 12 for 10 points. DeMarcus Cousins, who had foul trouble, was only 3 of 4 for 7 points. 17 points combined for the Pelicans' big birds in the first half is not usually going to lead to a win. But luckily, Drew Holiday's come on strong, and I've probably been his biggest critic over the past, I don't know, season and a half now at this point. But he's played exceptionally well recently, and they're finding some ways to get it done. It's also usually when one of the bigs aren't on the court. So Holiday went 8 of 11, 2 of 4 from 3 in the first half for 18 points. That's what you needed to see. Guys step up when things aren't working, as well as, you know, the sharpshooters in like a guy like Darius Miller going 3 of 4 from deep, which kept this team close. It wasn't going to be the easiest victory. The Pels were only up 3 at halftime, but that 3-point shooting in Drew Holiday is basically exactly the reason why that was the case. But the second half was kind of a bit of a different turnaround. Remember, I said Davis was 5 of 12 for 10 points in the first half. Well, in the second half, he was 6 of 14 for 19 points, also being aided by finally getting to the line and getting calls. Then he went 6 of 6 at the free throw line. So his efficiency spiked there because of the no free throw attempts in the first half. Cousins was 4 of 7, got 12 points there, and went to the line 3 of 3. The Pelicans overall were perfect from the free throw line in the second half, and I guess on the night then, going 12 of 12 from the line. Again, despite not having one single attempt in the first half. Drew Holiday was quiet, though, 6 points, but they got enough from this from their bigs to really carry the load going forward. The biggest thing here is going to be the offensive rebounds. They had 7 on the night. They grabbed 5 in the second half and punished the Utah Jazz down low, particularly in the fourth quarter. You saw the bigs grabbing their own misses, Davis fighting through 2 guys to get one, and that was exactly what you needed to see. In the fourth quarter alone, the team grabbed 4 offensive boards, giving them the second chance points they needed to really just end this game and kind of be a dagger to the Utah Jazz, getting a needed victory on the road, because again, this is a playoff team that you're going to be seeing overall, and you need, or not overall, but fighting for playoff position with. You can tell I'm recording this early and I've had not nearly enough coffee yet, but it's good to see them do this. I said we needed to see what their mental mindset was going to be going into this game. And while it wasn't there in the first half, it was there enough to show you just how good this team could be. They weren't completely checked out. And then, you know, with the Jazz going on a 9-0 run to make it a 3-point game in the fourth quarter, the Pelicans really just did exactly what they needed to do. Those 4 offensive rebounds, you know, they got to the line. They got into the paint is the biggest thing. And that's they imposed their will on this Jazz team. Woke up, knew what they needed to do, did it, got the victory, got out of there. And when you look at the game as a whole, got to be happy that Donovan Mitchell, the rookie, didn't explode for 41 points again. Did have 24. This dude is something special and maybe the NBA Rookie of the Year, potentially. I think you could easily make a claim. And has been great for them and just a steal of a pick. A bit of a cold shooting night, 3 of 11 from deep. But again, 24 points overall. You've got to like that. But the Pelicans did a good job pressing that point of attack and, you know, trying to limit his effectiveness, which they did a good job of. You would rather have him shooting 10 threes than getting to the rim and dunking all over you like happened when these two teams faced off in Utah before. But to kind of create that good defense, and this is the Pelicans held this team under 100 points and they're 7-0 when they do that. They needed to use a bit of a weirder rotation. Again, you guys have heard, I'm not a fan of this 9-man rotation with this team right now. And I know a lot of people have been screaming about what's going on with Rondo's minutes, but I'm going to give you some insight in the next segment after the reset here into what I think is going on with Alvin Gentry and his thinking. Today's edition of Locked On Pelicans is brought to you by MyBookie.ag. And look, it's still kind of the holiday times here. It's cold outside. Lots of people still have their Christmas trees up. And you've just spent a lot of holiday cash. You need to kind of replace it. And I know where you can get it. MyBookie is the place to score serious cash on your sports predictions. Believe it or not, like I said, the holidays are still here. You've gone to plenty of parties. You've spent a lot on gifts and just overall spending. But that also means there's a lot of football, basketball, and hockey games you can score big on every day around this time. Man up and play like the pros on game day. You can play the money line, side, total, over, under, whatever you want. MyBookie is your hookup for all your betting needs and offers super fast payouts when you win. That's the biggest thing here. Where you bet is just as important as who you're betting on. And if you want to make money betting on the games, you've got to go to mybookie.ag. They're the only site that I'd recommend. I trust them, but you don't have to take my word for it. Check them out yourselves. They have odds on every matchup, a mobile site that makes wagering on your smartphone a breeze. Join now and mybookie.ag will match your deposit with a 50% bonus. Use the promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate the offer. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. So when you look at the box score, you're going to see a number of things that jump out at you. But one of the ones I want to talk about is Rajon Rondo playing just 15 and a half minutes in this game against the Utah Jazz. And his minutes distribution has kind of been all over the place. Sometimes he plays close to 40 minutes. Sometimes he plays under, you know, 16 as he did this game. And I think it was against the Knicks on the second night of a back-to-back. He played 24 after only playing around 24 before that. So there isn't really a whole lot of sense or pattern to this. And it can get pretty frustrating. We've seen Drew Holiday not thrive, but play significantly better as this two guard where someone can take over the ball handling duties from him. We've seen basically, as I've talked about on the podcast here, that Rondo really is unlocking him. And so it's kind of weird when you bench Rondo, not bench, but have him sitting down for, you know, nearly a quarter and let Drew Holiday take over the whole point guard duties and get maybe a less efficient, productive version out of him for a period of time. So those 15 minutes, you know, are fair to question. But I think this mainly has to do with the defense right now. And Gentry said, you know, last night he praised the defense, especially what they did for Mitchell, taking him in a way what he wanted to do. And then speaking on Rondo's minutes, when asked about it, he just said, and here's the quote, "It's just that we thought that having that defensive unit and having size out there was the way we'd go tonight." So this, you can see he's doing this and it's basically focusing much more on the defensive side of the ball. And for a Pelicans team that's ranking in the top 10 on offense and can kind of maybe go stretches where everything's okay, you know, without your offense being that top 10 unit, but maybe dropping and playing like a top 15, top 20 unit to get some more defensive presence out there, because we've seen the defense really struggles. Look, I'm on board with Rondo right now. I'm happy with how he's playing. But let's not pretend that he's the defensive terror that he's been in the past. He's nearly a negative on that side of the ball. The coaching staff knows it. And at times, I think they're just valuing the importance of actually getting some stops and then trusting Davis or Cousins to get you a bucket on the offensive end than they are of making the most efficient use of Drew Holiday and keeping Rondo out there to be the point guard and the distributor at all times. That might have to do something to do with it, and we got to look at maybe his minutes more in depth, which I plan on doing maybe this week or the weekend, because yeah, these minutes really don't make a lot of sense. But ultimately, the Pelicans won this game, even with him playing 15 minutes. So the coaching staff clearly did something right here, and I don't think anyone was going to say, well, they almost blew the lead or anything because Rondo was on the bench. It was just, it's kind of how the Jazz were playing at the time. So I think this has more to do with lineups and different things. We've also seen Alvin Gentry really care about size and putting taller players out on the court. And we saw this to start the year where why was Etuan Moore not starting over Dante Cunningham at times? Or why were they not going with the three-guard lineup? That's what it was when Rondo came back. Or not starting Ian Clark over Cunningham. Basically get Cunningham out of the lineup. But you could very clearly tell, and Alvin Gentry said as much, that they want to have that kind of length and height on the wing position. And so when it came to the game last night, they wanted to have that size out there to try and match up a little bit better with the Utah Jazz. So this has more to do with them, again, you know, maybe matching the opponent versus imposing and forcing their will on them. Certainly, it's something worth monitoring. Ultimately, the Pelicans got the win tonight. You've got to see if this really does it, or has at any point really hurt the Pelicans, I guess would be the way to put it, because it's interesting. Very clearly, Holiday plays the absolute best when Rondo's out there, so not giving him lots of minutes is a little bit confusing because, frankly, you do really need to get very good production from Rajon Rondo. Drew Holiday, especially with the amount of money you're paying him. 7.5 minutes in the second half, and Holiday scored 6 points. But then you look at it, and then in the first half, you know, Rondo played exactly 8 minutes, and Holiday had 18 points, though he played 19 minutes, so there's not a ton of overlap there. So I'm going to try and look at the game visualizations and see if we can maybe get a little bit more out of this. But again, I think this more had to do with the defensive side of the ball. We saw the Pelicans really start to play well on that side of the ball, especially in the fourth quarter last night when I don't think Rajon Rondo played in the fourth. Nope, he did not at all in the game. So maybe there's something to what Alvin Gentry said. So we're about to go kind of around the Western Conference playoff race, look at a few things here with the New Orleans Pelicans and how it relates to them. But don't forget just to catch up around the association as a whole. Listen to the Locked On NBA podcast once a week. Get insight from anonymous scouts, coaches, insight you're not going to get anywhere else. So make sure you tune in to Locked On NBA. So looking around the NBA, the Pelicans are now tied for the 7th seed in the Western Conference playoff race at 19-18 alongside Portland. Portland, who I've been saying I thought was going to start to fall out of that playoff race a little bit because their schedule has been so soft and they're just a really kind of weird team to me. But coming up in this in the standings are the LA Clippers, who recently, and this is the first team we're going to look at, has won 6 out of 7, basically going back to when they upset Houston, more or less, and kind of sparked a run here. Now, those wins have not come against great teams. They beat the Kings, they beat the Lakers, they beat Chicago or Charlotte, and they beat Memphis. They have a bit of a tougher stretch coming up, playing OKC tonight. Then they go play the Warriors. Then coming up after that, I think you got Atlanta. Then you've got Sacramento. And Golden State again. So it's a bit of a mixed bag. They got Houston up after that on January 15th, then Denver, and so on. So we're going to find out really kind of who this team is over these next couple of games, I think. Do they just beat up on bad teams? Or right now, are they kind of somewhere in the middle? Getting Blake Griffin back really helped them. It's kind of given them a bit of a resurgence. It's a wait-and-see kind of thing with them. But, you know, really when you look at it, they're not horribly behind the Pelicans. They're 17-19. The Pelicans are 19-18, so it's about 3 games or so. But still, that's a team that could get it going, especially with kind of a medium-ish schedule going forward. Portland, on the other hand, I think is going to continue to fall. They have a bit of a rough stretch coming up, playing the Spurs, OKC, Houston, then New Orleans here in New Orleans. You got Minnesota after that. And then they hit a bit of a medium stretch from there. But still, the kind of starting point for January for this Portland team is not too good. You know, like we've said, they've been a very good defensive team. They take away things on the inside from you. But for a team with Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum, they're 25th out of 30th when it comes to offense. And with a tough schedule like that coming up, including games against Golden State, you got to score some points, and I just don't trust this team to really go out and do that. Denver's the next team there, and the Pelicans, while looking like, you know, they're not too far behind, Denver's 20-17, the Pelicans are 19-18, so again, about, what, 2-3 games there. They've played very well despite injuries to Paul Millsap and at one point Jokic for a little bit, getting some big wins, including a victory over the Golden State Warriors in there. So, bit surprising on how things have been. Their schedule coming up isn't horrible. They got Utah and Sacramento on a back-to-back at Golden State. After that, Atlanta, Memphis, at the Spurs. So some very winnable games for this Denver team in there. Expect them to kind of stay where they are. I don't think they're really falling out of the race at any point. I think now you're looking at the Western Conference for that 7th and 8th spot be between New Orleans, Portland, maybe the Clippers, maybe the Jazz, depending on when Rudy Gobert comes back and how he comes back and how he plays during that time. But certainly the Pelicans are still in the thick of things. You're starting to see those tiers separate just a little bit more. You've got Golden State and Houston up at the top in single digits in the loss column. San Antonio and Minnesota are right there in that next tier in the 3 and 4 spots, 26-13 for the Spurs. 24-15 for Minnesota, really trying to solidify themselves as a top 4 seed in the Western Conference. And OKC's come on recent over the past, I don't know, 15 games or so. They're 21-17 after their early struggles. There's enough talent there that like they're getting into the playoffs. It's just kind of a matter of where. And the 5th seed kind of just feels right for them. 5th or 6th along with Denver fighting for those playoff seeds, whereas you have kind of a 3-team battle for those final 2. We always knew this was really going to be a 9-team total race for 8 spots in the Western Conference, it seems like. And that's really what it's turned out to be. Luckily, the Pels are in a good position for it right now, but a couple losses or a couple bad losses can really take them out of it. You need to get as many games above 500 as possible, as we've been saying. So hopefully the Pelicans, with their upcoming schedule, and you know, here it is, they go to Minnesota on Saturday, but they'll be well-rested 2 days off before that game. Back here versus Detroit, a winnable game. Then going to Memphis a day or so later, that's again winnable. Then you've got Portland here in New Orleans. You should win that one. going to then New York to get a victory there. Then you're at Boston, and on the second night of a back-to-back at Atlanta, which might be a little bit more difficult due to a rest issue. But still, these are winnable games before Memphis coming up again. You need to take advantage of the week schedule while you have it. And hopefully the Pelicans are going to be able to do so. They showed some fight late in the fourth against the Utah Jazz. But again, coaching and some mental issues are all still there and are a very big concern. So that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans. We'll be back with you all tomorrow to pregame the Timberwolves game. Enjoy this victory. The Pelicans get a much needed one on the road. As always, I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter. And I'll be back with you all tomorrow.